You're listening to Star Wars Beyond the Films, the official expanded universe podcast of StarWarsReport.com.
There is a great disturbance in the Force.
Welcome to episode number 30 of Star Wars Beyond the Films, your Star Wars discussion podcast. We broadcast on Middle Earth Network Radio as well as on the Star Wars Report website. Our episodes are also available on our own Facebook page at facebook.com/SWBeyondFilms. But enough about how you got here. Let's get the show started. I am one of your hosts, Nathan P. Butler. With me, of course, as always, my stalwart companion, the defender of the EU, Mr. Mark Herleman. Hey, Mark.
Greetings. Hey, everybody. Nathan, how's it going, Whistler? Hey, buddy. That's right, we got a lot to talk about today. A lot to talk about.
This is very true. It's going to be a contentious episode, I think, overall. So, Mark, what are we talking about this time?
Here at Star Wars Beyond the Films, we ask the tough questions. Questions that have bothered you for a long time, or simple ones that have perplexed you off and on. You ponder about Star Wars, and so do we. This episode, we explore information that came out of the San Diego Comic-Con. A lot of tiddly bits here for you, boys and girls. Consider this your spoiler warning, because here we go.
You know, you start off saying that we talk about those questions that have perplexed people off and on, and I think the perplexing question this time around is, have they lost their minds? I look at some of the stuff that is coming out of San Diego Comic-Con, and I find myself completely taken aback. There is so much that seems like, unless the order of the day is, we are going to go for casual Star Wars fans and screw pretty much everything and everyone else, I have no idea where some of these decisions are coming from. It's got to be just a matter of, we need a bigger audience, so we're going to go back to some basics, because they've got stuff being canceled left and right, they've got some odd choices of new stuff coming. I don't know. There's some good news, I guess, coming out of San Diego Comic-Con and around it, but I think there's probably more bad than good this time around, particularly for people who have been following the EU for quite a while, which, of course, this podcast is geared toward here. So, I guess, easiest thing to start off is we're going to go into some status updates on the individual comic series from Randy Stradley here in just a little bit, but let's just first go into stuff that was recently discussed at San Diego Comic-Con, things that were either new that were announced there, or things that we just heard a little bit more about that's coming up that they happened to mention that were there. Mark, kick us off.
Yeah, that's right, Whistler. There was a little bit of sad things. The first thing, though, is a happy note. You know, we do got more content. We'll get to that, though. Vader's a Little Princess. This is the story that's like the Vader and Son that recently came out. We also have a galactic pop-up adventure, very similar to the pop-up Guide to the Galaxy. Darth Maul, Death Sentence, that's that comic series. We've already known about this. There was a little bit of details given. Not much new there. That's actually one I'm kind of excited for. We have Lost Tribe of the Sith Spiral. That's the comic that we were told about that was coming out. We have Agents of the Empire, Hard Targets. A little interesting bit about this is that it's going to continue in October with Hard Targets and have appearances by Boba Fett and Leia. It's also going to somehow involve an assassination of Count Dooku, so that should be interesting.
Which of course, doesn't mean the Count Dooku we know. This is a Count Dooku. Apparently, they're going to make Count Dooku a title, not just the Count part, but the Dooku part is like a title or a family name or something. So, the assassination of Count Dooku, they're not saying the assassination of Darth Tyrannus. They're saying the assassination of somebody else in the position that Darth Tyrannus had held. If I could clarify one other thing is before we move along, because there's so freaking many of these announcements that we're going to look at. The Darth Vader's Little Princess and Vader and Son, I know some folks have been saying, you know, I want to take a look at this. I'm not sure if it's really going to be up my alley. It's obviously going to be something that's non-canonical anyway. These aren't stories, okay? Maybe Vader's Little Princess will be. I haven't seen much about that. But Vader and Son isn't like, it's not a storybook. Vader and Son is like, take the Far Side.
Yeah,
where you get the individual images that are quick and comedic. That's what Vader and Son is. So there's not a story to it to be had here. We should also mention, I guess, with regard to Darth Maul, that yeah, it's got Death Sentence mentioned. It seems like they didn't mention the Sith Hunters, which comes out, I guess, later this month if we're airing this in August, which is another of those Clone Wars Digest. Didn't happen to get much of a mention. And we, of course, have another Jason Fry, or I guess the first of the Jason Fry young reader books that's going to adapt some Clone Wars episodes about Darth Maul. So Darth Maul's getting quite a bit, even though Death Sentence seems to be the one thing they were really talking about all that much.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting with the Count Dooku, though. I mean, that definitely is going to add some history to the character. I could see it working, though. I mean, you know, if Dooku is his last name, it goes back to that whole Palpatine aspect of let's just use one name. The other ones we have are Dawn of the Jedi. We got Prisoners of Bogan, and we also have Into the Void. That will be the novel by Tim Lebon.
I guess that's how you say it. Lebon.
And that one, I like the title, Into the Void. I don't know, it reminds me of Screams in the Void, or whatever it was with the Vong, when they weren't really the Vong at the time.
Yeah, and you know, they've also, with Into the Void, they have said that this book is apparently going to take place simultaneous with the storyline we just talked about a couple episodes ago, with Dawn of the Jedi Force Storm. So it's a little different than what we saw with some of those tie-ins with the Old Republic. I guess the closest we've seen to this with the Old Republic is we had Deceived, I think it was Deceived, that had a little bit of crossover with the Treaty of Coruscant storyline,
yeah,
the Old Republic
trailer.
Comics. In this case, what we've got is a crossover between that novel and the first arc of this comic series, which will continue with Prisoner of Bogan.
It'll be interesting because you'll be able to see, you know, events from another point of view, hopefully. I mean, I could see that working out quite well. I'm actually excited. You know, the last two episodes we did, it's a very interesting and promising era. And now that we've actually got a novel, this will be your official farthest back novel that I'm thinking you're ever going to get. I don't see him going back beyond this and be like, well, let's tell another little story and put it in front of this one. So I kind of hope that when they put this one out, they do their homework. Let's just do it once and get it done right. I mean, if you want to add to that era, go for it. But I don't see him going farther back into the past.
Absolutely. And hey, this is an era they're not canceling, which is an issue we're going to get to.
Yes. And speaking of things that weren't canceled, though, we got Mercy Kill, the X-Wing series. We knew about that. They had some details that came out, little excerpts and stuff that have been continuing to be leaked. The Star Wars ongoing comic series by Brian Wood. That's you're going to be hearing a lot about that, I have a feeling. So we'll try to keep a positive spin on it, or as positive as we can be.
Speak for yourself, homie.
I know. It's so terrible. I'm terrible. I know. Okay, and then we also have the Essential Readers Companion. That's also information we already knew. I'm really excited about that one. When I saw the cover, the finalized cover, it looks like a book that I would really get a kick out of. Kind of kicking myself for not getting the Essential Guide to Warfare yet. You know, I want it. Don't get me wrong. I haven't been able to justify going out and dropping the dime on it. But this one's another one that I really want to get, and then could just spend at least, you know, days, if not hours at a time, just getting lost in the pages of.
Yeah, I'm excited for it, too. I actually spent a nice chunk of the last month or so, I read through the entirety of The Jedi Path, of Book of Sith, The Essential Atlas, and The Essential Guide to Warfare, and what was the other one? Oh, Jedi vs. Sith, The Essential Guide to the Force, because I needed information for all of them for the timeline that I do, the Star Wars Timeline Gold, you know, the StarWarsFanWars.com/timeline, if you're new to the show, folks. But, I mean, a lot of information to be found in there. I'm not sure that Reader's Companion is going to have nearly as much information from a chronological standpoint for those who, you know, are looking for in-universe stuff, but it'll be nice to see it all kind of laid out, a guide to all the different things that are out there. And, hey, maybe we'll have some of these stories that are given very vague time frames, things like, say, Hunting the Gorach that recently appeared in the pages of Insider, things of that same ilk. Not necessarily that story where they had a very vague time frame. Maybe we'll actually have a time frame provided for some of these things, if only in the order that they happen to cover them in the book.
Yeah. You know, you have to wonder if there'll be a section on the understanding continuity in there in the back. And for those of you that really care. Also, things we knew about, we have The Old Republic Annihilation. That's by Drew Karpyshyn. That's going to be one that I'm actually looking forward to more details of. That also ties into a comic series that we've had recently. Scoundrels by Timothy Zahn. They had some really cool booths and stuff like that set up. And then Last of the Jedi. We already knew about this. But the interesting thing about this now is it's being touted as a standalone.
Yeah, and it is carrying the same name as a Scholastic book series, the Ferris Olin series, Last of the Jedi. So it's, except for this one's got the on it.
Yeah,
why not just label this Coruscant Knights number 4 and subtitle it Last of the Jedi? We really hope we don't have the same continuity disaster as we did in the previous three books of Coruscant Knights.
Well, I was thinking the same thing, but technically this is The Last Jedi, and the other one is The Last of the Jedi. It is, though, I was the first thing I thought of, too.
Okay,
like,
okay,
oh,
so it's not a repeat of the storyline title of the Scholastic books. It's a repeat of the same name of an old Marvel comic story. They're running out of titles if they're just going to keep using these same things.
Well, they don't want to be tied down by continuity.
Oh, Lord, here we go. Wait a second. You know how, like, in the old cartoons, you would have the cartoon character turn red and you hear the whoo with the smoke coming out of the ears? In my case, it's the of the can of whoop-something popping out here. But we do have one more that sounds somewhat promising and interesting if it actually holds to what they're promising, which is what?
Crucible.
That's this right. One... Goody Proctor is a witch. Ooh. And a Sith or something. A Night Sister.
Han, Luke, and Leia are back in action, older still and wiser, but as ready as ever to leap headlong into adventure like a bunch of teenagers who don't know any better. Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, and Princess Leia spent a lifetime fighting wars, bringing the Jedi back from extinction, watching their children be murdered by their own children, and raising families, and saving the galaxy more times than they can count. They've earned the right to rest on their laurels and let the younger generation shoulder the burden. But fate has another adventure in store for our heroes, a quest only they can tackle and hope to survive.
Because geriatrics always have a better chance at surviving than people who are in their prime.
You young whippersnappers and your lightsabers, go out to the unknown regions and find me some chess.
I will say, though, at least with Crucible, from what we're hearing, Crucible seems like it is supposed to be what, Legacy of the Force was supposed to be, Fate of the Jedi was supposed to be, Dark Nest was supposed to be, et cetera, where it's supposed to be handing off the reins to the next generation of Star Wars heroes so that, you know, from here onward, it can be the generation of, say, Jason and Jaina. Heck, maybe even Alana's generation, as opposed to constantly coming back to these characters, at least as we go forward in the continuity. They seem like they're going to be mining these characters a lot more for just publishing in general, but from a continuity standpoint, not necessarily saying, okay, we're going to go into the 50s, the 60s, the 70s ABY, and still have these be the primary characters.
You know, my thing is, and I think it was Doyle on Club Jade had commented about the fact that the next generation has been there for so long at this point that there's no handing of the torch to happen. Jaina is pushing 40 at this point. I mean, it's like, you talk about mining these characters. It's time to start doing some throwback standalones, some throwback duologies or something. I mean, we've had so many time frames that they just jumped ahead and just skipped this next generation's character growth that all we really have is the little bits where they were stuffed in with the big three here and there. I mean, I'm all for next generation stories, but when I look back on the stuff that we've been given, I just see a lot of characters being developed and then killed. Developed, then killed, or derailed because some other reason. And it just, I want to be excited. It's my favorite era. Don't get me wrong. This has always been my favorite era, but it is being so hard to defend it as the defender of the EU because of all these little botches here and there. Who writes a series about a villain you don't even know you have until the third book, and you don't even have an exit strategy? Del Rey.
You know, I think this goes back to the same thing we're going to be talking about when we start dealing with some of the things that are being canceled and the plans for the Star Wars comic line. It's that same thing we talked about previously in an episode about, you know, is Star Wars viable without the major characters, the big three from the classic trilogy or the film characters from the prequel trilogy being the primary characters? And apparently Del Rey's answer is not quite yet. Still feel the need to tell a story of Luke, Leia, and Han. But if this fulfills its promise, huge, gigantic if it fulfills that promise, though, then it seems like at least they're saying not yet, but soon, which is a little bit better than constantly just saying not yet, not yet, not yet. What'll be interesting is to see what gets announced for after Crucible. If they are going to announce anything post-Crucible leading up to Legacy, okay, in that gap, what type of stories are you going to tell? Show us that. Show us that you plan on doing that, and we're with you. Although I will say that it's a little bit of a slight, I think, to Aaron Alston that a lot of people are referring to Crucible as it's the first book after Fate of the Jedi that we're going to get. No, it's not. X-Wing Mercy Kill, good book, bizarre in the sense that it's told mostly from Piggy's point of view, or Vort Sabinri's point of view. Really, really good book. It is post-Fate of the Jedi. It's mopping up events from Fate of the Jedi, but technically it's post-Fate of the Jedi. So this is our second one. This just happens to be the first one post-Fate of the Jedi that deals with those characters. So they were already setting the precedent that they can tell post-Fate of the Jedi stories that don't have to be about Luke, Leia, and Han. They just apparently felt like doing maybe one more. One of the other things we had coming, I was going to go straight into the what was canceled, what was not. Cut that. Go for it.
Okay. You know, one of those things that gets me is as soon as this book comes out, people start, oh, are they going to kill one of the big three? Let's just say right now, not going to happen. I am one, though, that I've been on all sides of that debate, whether I wanted it, didn't want it. I've wanted to see it off page. I have thought of it so many different ways. But right now, I'm currently back to one of those, I want to see one die. I know it sounds cold and heartless. I don't care which one, even. You know, a part of me kind of leans towards Luke being the last one to die of the three. But there is that, to me, that I want to know. I do want to follow these characters. I think about Darth Vader. How much would the film have kind of just dragged on if they would have just gave you a little, and he died off screen? You know, I mean, you want to see what happens. You want to follow that character all the way to the end. And if Luke, say, lives and dies Yoda-esque on his bed with Ben, say, holding his hand, going, Daddy, I love you. You've had a good life. Whatever. I want to know, did Han die first? Did Leia die first? How did they react? There is a story there that I would like to see. But when I say I'd like to see it, I don't want to see it like today, within 5 years, maybe 10 years, maybe 15. Start planning it today. You know, have it thought out. Do a real good job of it if you're going to ever do it. But it's one of those things where I love to just see the journey. I've been following this long, and I've dealt with a lot of junk. You know, let's give some real good thought if we're ever going to do it. That's, I guess, what I'm saying. If we're ever going to do it, think it through.
So it shouldn't be something like Han dies first. No, all of a sudden, Leia dies first, and Han dies right after. Nope, sorry. They actually die right about the same time, just to see whether or not there's anything we can be drawing out of the characters and changing of their characterization in terms of when they die. Shades of Greedo and Han.
If they found a way to tie it into the story as plot, maybe. Like, what if they were, like, doing a race, and it was a death race, like Shadow Games or whatever that new death movie, Mockingjay, Hunger Games. Yes, someone's going to kill me somewhere for that. But they're both fighting, and whoever dies first saves the new planet of Coruscant. And, oh, who died? Han died first. No, this just in. It was Leia. No, it was... I don't know. I mean, it'd definitely be controversial.
Yeah, no matter who they take care of in that sense, it's going to be controversial, depending on when they do it, how they do it. You got to figure that Han is the one most likely to die, because he's the one that doesn't have the Jedi abilities and Jedi longevity, but... You know, he seems like he's survived where most normal human beings certainly wouldn't.
So that's a question then that we're going to pose to you Beyonders out there. Does Han die first?
No, Greedo. Greedo died first. All right. One thing that has been announced, and it's something that was somewhat controversial, was that Star Wars ongoing comic series. And it led to a discussion over on the DarkHorse.com message boards about, okay, wait a second. What Star Wars series are still going to be going as we move forward? What's the status of these series? And what we've got is somewhat depressing news in some cases. According to Randy Stradley on that thread on DarkHorse.com's forums, we will have 5 to 8 issues per year of Agent of the Empire, which of course is going to be picking up with Hard Targets, which was already mentioned, and Dawn of the Jedi, which is nice. Picking up with Prisoner of Bogan. Both very good series. Should be cool to see them continue onward 5 to 8 per year. We're going to get 5 issues per year, give or take, of Dark Times, which just finished Out of the Wilderness and is apparently still going. And a big part of me wonders if the reason why Dark Times is still able to survive is because Randy Stradley writes the series under his pen name Mick Harrison, and he's not going to cancel his own series. That's just me, because I've never found anything about Dark Times particularly redeeming. It really, really drags, and I still can't get into it.
I gotta say, I think that may play into it, but I really think the title tells itself. I mean, the Dark Times that Obi-Wan talks about, I think that's the big sell feature here.
Then story about the Dark Times. Don't tell us a story of Das Jinnir and the crew of the unpronounceable ship constantly getting into these scrapes that nobody cares about.
they've definitely got themselves in the corner, and I think that's what we're seeing is they're struggling to get out of that box. I will say the last, the Into the Wilderness series was Out of the Wilderness was actually a much better story than the first few arcs that we've got. I mean, I'm caring about the other Jedi that are involved. There's other Jedi there now. I'm like, ooh, where's this going to go? I've kind of come around on the art, too. I like the art style of the comic. But the first couple arcs were really trying.
Well,
really trying.
I think you're ahead of me in that sense, because the last arcs, we're going to have the assassin not have a name or identity for most of the series. We're going to delay issue after issue after issue. And oh, by the way, it's going to be the droid and some other new character out of nowhere thinking, gee, are you two in love with each other? When the audience has had absolutely zero inkling of that, especially after the way that Ember was in the previous arc. That kind of came out of left field for me. But before we get too far afield on Dark Times and how much I can't stand it, we also have 5 issues per year of, and I find this surprising, Darth Vader, which is currently Darth Vader in the Ghost Prison. Previously, we had Darth Vader in the Lost Command. Apparently, that's going to continue with 5 issues per year of other Darth Vader-themed stories, which is interesting given the fact that we also have that Star Wars Ongoing series. That Star Wars Ongoing series is going to be one of two Star Wars Ongoing series. There's the Star Wars No Subtitle Ongoing series that is going to be taking place in the gap between episodes 4 and 5, that very continuity-laden era. We can talk about that, of course, here in a minute. Very controversial, but that's one of them. They said there's also an untitled one that we don't really know much about right now. I believe they also said there's going to be an 8-issue-per-year ongoing series that also hasn't been given a title yet, so we don't know exactly what that's going to be. Probably the most shocking news is what's not coming back, though. There's apparently at this point no current plans, at least in 2013, to bring back Invasion at all, though it may come back after that. At the moment, the assumption is, according to Randy Straley, that the Old Republic comic series is over. He said it's ended for now, whatever that means. There are no plans, apparently, to continue with Jedi, the story of Qui-Gon Jinn, even though we were told after Jedi the Dark Side that it was going to become a continuing series. Apparently, that plan has gone out the window. Knight Errant, which just started relatively recently and had the novel tie-in and everything by John Jackson Miller. John Jackson Miller was really getting his butt kicked in what they're doing with these, unless he picks up one of the newer series that they're not telling us much about yet. His Knight Errant is ending after Escape, which is the current story arc. Blood Ties is ending after its current story arc. Boba Fett is dead. And Lost Tribe of the Sith, which as of the time we're recording this, has not been released. It should be being released, I think, around the time that this episode should arrive for listeners. Lost Tribe of the Sith, the comic series, it picks up after Pandemonium in Lost Tribe of the Sith, the collected stories. It's only going to apparently get one story arc. It's going to start with Spiral and end with Spiral, not be an ongoing series or an ongoing series of mini series. All of those cancellations, especially of things that apparently were strong enough that they said, oh, we're going to do more of these. And then all of a sudden it's just like, yeah, never mind. Really, really blows my mind. So before I run through and give my thoughts on any specifics of some of those other ones that have most recently been mentioned, Mark, down the line, especially on the ones that have been canceled, what are your thoughts on this? I think they've lost their minds.
You know, the Invasion one really, really irks me. And I use the word irk because there's other words that I'd rather not say at the moment. That one really just, it feels like a thorn in my side. I've really come to want to know what in the heck is going on in that series. Everything that's been going on with Finn has left me completely up in the air. And then to no answers, no nothing. We ran out of time in the schedule. What? You had this one going before you even started the schedule. How do you come on. It's so hard for me. Randy Stradley writes about Invasion. There are lots of reasons why some series don't go where we thought they would. Disappointing sales, writers get stalled on where to take stories, other higher profile projects overtaking the publishing slot, and so on. I'm not going to list the reasons for our decisions for ending or continuing any given series. I will say this. Feedback from comic retailers and bookstore buyers, the people who actually order our books, indicates overwhelmingly that they want more titles that are accessible to casual fans. For instance, Dawn of the Jedi and Legacy, each being a relatively continuity-free ends of the timeline, are good fits. The new Star Wars series, which is designed so that readers need to know nothing more than what happens in A New Hope, is another good jumping-on point. Now, Legacy or Lost Tribe of the Sith, it hasn't even come out yet. And yet these people, these comic retailers and bookstore buyers have indicated overwhelmingly that we don't want that. We haven't even seen it. This, I don't know. There's part of me that is going, what's really going on here? I'm not quite buying this. It does not make sense. And this whole accessible part, that it's really kind of driving a thorn in my fandom lately. You know, oh, the EU is so big, it's inaccessible. Grab a book, open it up. It's not that hard. The book's not going to keep itself shut, people. You like it? You want to know more? There's another book. They're not that hard to find. Go to Amazon, eBay. I mean, I don't follow this whole, it's so hard, there's so much going on. Ooh, oh, you mean the story's so interesting you might actually care beyond the one book? I thought that was a good thing. When did that stop being a good thing?
I'm sitting back saying, you know, oh, it needs to be accessible. Stuff that sells better is stuff that is more accessible or features the film characters in prominent roles. And by accessible, they use the examples of Legacy and Dawn of the Jedi, far-flung eras, so you don't have to know a bunch of other stuff. I can understand Invasion. Okay, and I guess Tom Taylor's kind of getting his butt kicked in this too, because Invasion's gone and so is Blood Ties. But okay, Invasion, I can understand. It was taking place within the New Jedi Order. I found that bizarre for them to even do it in the first place, because of all the possible continuity clashes between that and the New Jedi Order novels, and the fact that, you know, it leaves that feeling of, you know, sort of been there, done that when it comes to the Yuuzhan Vong. The fact that they put up a two-part preview on StarWars.com for Invasion that eventually became Invasion Number Zero and had to go back and change it when they actually printed it in print as Number Zero because they had their own continuity gaffe already before the series even saw print. The first victory against the Yuuzhan Vong was in Number Zero. No, it wasn't. It was in Vector Prime. Oops, so they change it when they actually put it into print. Invasion always seemed odd to me. It grew on me, but of course now that it's grown on me, now it's gone.
Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, it grew on you. You became invested, and we're going to change our mind and do something different. And I hate to say it, but that is a common vexing for me as an EU fan. That feeling of just, like, getting backslapped. I mean, you're not getting backhanded, but, man, it feels like it sometimes. Because you're just like, oh, I want to know more. And we're all having a great ride, and at the end of the thing, they're like, and we're going to continue next week and next arc. And then all of a sudden, oh, but we're not.
Pretty much. And we've got, okay, other stuff that's not coming back. The Old Republic. Now, granted, I was not a particularly big fan of the Old Republic comics. I thought they were very lackluster, really didn't do much that they were expected to do. Whoops, there goes my phone. Really didn't do much that they were expected to do, but at least they gave us some more detail on that era, and apparently it's an era that they still are going to pursue a little bit because they've got another novel coming with it. I can understand them dropping it because of quality issues, but if you want a far-flung era that's accessible, and you've got this massive MMO out there, the Old Republic would seem to be something you would want to continue, but apparently not. Oh, you want film characters, prequel characters that haven't got a lot of exploration that could be draws for the series. Qui-Gon Jinn, that's a film, oh, no, no, Jedi is gone. Boba Fett is dead, no, no, Boba Fett, Blood Ties and all that stuff, that is gone. Oh, far-flung eras, Knight Errant, Lost Tribe of the Sith, no. Nope, sorry, they're gone. I understand the idea that you want to do something that is accessible, but if it seems like their definition of what is accessible or not isn't really jiving with what it actually is to the audience out there. Maybe the fact that I'm a longtime EU fan makes me see this in a different light, but based on their definition of what that is, it still leaves me scratching my head. It's the same thing as when they came out and said, with Del Rey, we're not going to do an Imperial Commando 2 because by the time we find another author for it and we do this and that for it and finally get it out there, well, you know, people just won't care anymore because it'll be so many years. And yet we add a new X-Wing book. And yet we have Coruscant Knights number 4, which, granted, is not being marketed under that name, but that's basically what it is, Jax Pavin coming back again by the same authors. Crimson Empire 3, you want something that's not accessible. How about we print Crimson Empire 3, what was it, over a decade after Crimson Empire 2, give or take? I don't know. It seems as though it's chicken with their heads cut off. You know, it's the oh crap, we're not selling as many as we would like to be selling right now, so under the name of accessibility, we're just going to reshuffle most everything. And yeah, there are times where you need to do that. They got to a point at one point where they canceled most of their ongoing series and relaunched them. And it proved seemingly to be somewhat of a success. Maybe they're just trying to do that again, but putting it under the banner of, well, this is about accessibility. And this is about far-flung eras and movie characters. The actions do not fit the words.
Well, and again, on accessibility, I mean, do we have to put it in places where there have already been so many stories that the only way to tell a new story is to pretend another one didn't exist? I mean, that's one of the underlying issues for me is, you know, yeah, if I'm not paying attention to it, it's not a big deal. But at the end of the day, it's like, really, are we going to just continue to mine this all and continue to have what we're calling retcons? But now I'm starting to look at them as basically each retcon isn't really a retcon. It's just a continuity reboot. And we've been rebooting continuities since day one. I mean, I don't know. A lot of people, when they saw the Star Wars new title coming out, they're like, well, this is probably it. They're gonna secretly reboot the series. And I mean, I don't know. If they did at this point, I don't think I'd even be upset.
Yeah, I find that of all the things that are being announced, the cancellations are a shock and don't seem to fit the argument they're making for why they're being canceled. But, you know, it happens. Series get canceled. And we don't know what these two new untitled series are going to be. Maybe there's something that's just going to absolutely blow us away. I was angry when Legacy was gone, but now that Legacy's gone, that team is now doing Dawn of the Jedi, which is really good. So it's possible we could see something just kind of morph into something new by similar creative teams who put out good stuff we've liked into the past. But then you've got Star Wars. Star Wars ongoing. We're trying very hard with this, according to Dark Horse Comics, to give you a story that is as if the reader knows nothing beyond the events of A New Hope. Neither do the characters. It's going to be just after A New Hope, written by a new writer for Star Wars, Brian Wood, coming into this, sort of a big name in comics to try to bring him in and bring some more people to the series. We've got Alex Ross, I believe it is, doing at least some of the cover art, which is a big deal, bringing Alex Ross, you know, who's a big name in comics, into Star Wars. But we're trying to tell a story set between episodes 4 and 5, that is going to be fresh, that's going to be exciting, that's going to bring in new readers who are looking for something that they are familiar with in the era that they love the most. That's well and good. But how many stories already exist in that time frame? I already say that the characters must be wearing space depends, because who knows how often they actually get to use the restroom, given how many stories are set in there. You have numerous RPG stories. You have most of, in fact, I guess the entirety of, the original newspaper strips by Goodwin and Manning. Okay? You have Marvel Comics between Episode 4 and Episode 5. Yes, they went beyond that, but between Episode 4 and 5, there are a lot of Marvel-released comics. You have the pages of Empire. You have Rebellion. You have a whole bunch of different miniseries already existing. What ground are they going to cover that's going to be something that can have any type of lasting impact without treading over previous ground? Gee, I'm a new reader. I've never read a Star Wars comic before. Now I'm picking this up after A New Hope. Gee, I wonder, how are they going to figure out who it was that blew up the Death Star? Sorry, that's already been told in Vader's Quest and in the Marvel comics. Well, gee, let's see how they evacuate Yavin. No, sorry, that's already been told in classic Star Wars, a.k.a. the newspaper strips, and in X-Wing Marks the Spot from Star Wars Kids. Well, maybe we're going to see what Han Solo does with his winnings and how he doesn't pay back Jabba the Hutt and why he doesn't do that. Nope, sorry, multiple stories. What about the bounty hunter they ran into at Ord Mantell? There's like 4 different versions of that story so far. You get what I'm saying? We're talking about an era in which it's already so continuity dense that it's insane. Writing anything in that era is putting yourself into a continuity minefield, and now they're going to write in that era, in that continuity minefield, basically saying, we don't give a crap about the mines.
Yeah, well, Stradley says about writer Brian Wood, Brian is the kind of writer I welcome on Star Wars. He's a longtime fan of the films, and he's not steeped in the continuity or the minutiae of the expanded universe. He's not afraid to do his research, but he's also not driven to draw connecting lines in between everything he's writing and some previously established piece of Star Wars history. An approach like that, in my opinion, leads to the kind of impenetrable continuity that scares new readers away from Star Wars. Isn't that just what you explained? That whole era is that way? That's not the continuity's fault. That's the story. I mean, if you write enough story time minutes, like 24, wasn't that show like supposed to be an hour in the character's life? And mm-hmm. as that series went on, you watched it. Okay, you can't slip minutes in if that 30 seconds are used up, that half a minute is used up. You can't force more seconds into a day. Not gonna happen. So either you admit that we have told this tale and we have to reboot something somewhere or reinvent or whatever, or call a spade. I mean, you're trashing stuff. I mean, I'm not saying it's being destroyed. It's not the end of the universe, but it's an issue. It is an issue. And then you got comments like this. Brian is the kind of writer I welcome on Star Wars because he's a longtime fan of the films. He's a film fan. We like film fans over here. He's not steeped in continuity or the expanded universe. We don't like that. What?
You know, that's what you really want in a Star Wars writer. He may have the talent. He may have the comic writing expertise to be the kind of writer you'd like to have in Star Wars. But I can't imagine many Star Wars fans turning around and saying, you know what? This is my ideal Star Wars writer. I want someone to come in who's completely ignorant of anything from before. And don't take that. You called him ignorant. Ignorant doesn't mean stupid. Ignorant means you don't have the facts. He's not seeped in the lore. I look back and it seems like, again, it's like there is this scatterbrain thing going on. In order to appeal to new audiences, let's do things that basically turn and crap on previous continuity or disregard it and make the ability to fit anything together even more difficult. That's what Lucas has done with the Clone Wars cartoon series. At the same time, though, they've got these projects like the Essential Atlas, the Reader's Companion, the Essential Guide to Warfare, the New Essential Chronology, all these things that are basically saying, look, see, it all really does fit together. Let's see how it all links. Isn't this amazing? So much continuity, and yet it all fits together. It'd be like if, on the one hand, I wake up in the morning and say my job is that I am a carpenter, okay? And I go and work on a house, and I'm building and building, and I finally finish the entryway of this house by about, let's say, 2 o'clock. But right before it's about time for me to go home, I spend the next couple of hours after my lunch break, I just come back and pour gasoline on it and light it. And whatever's left when I get back to work the next day, well, I'll just build from there. It's okay. Don't mind those ashes. It's all just part of the creative process. See, we got to clear the space. We got to make it more accessible. But at the same time, we really are building something.
It's so hard not to rant and rave over these kind of things. I want everybody to get along. I want us all to like the same thing. It's just one of those things like, okay, Jan DeRiesma, John Ostrander, they wouldn't be good for Star Wars. They're too steep. They like to draw the lines together too much. John Jackson Miller wouldn't be good for the project. I'm not saying that the guy they got for it isn't. I mean, I'm sure Brian Wood's going to do great. But it gets back to that, really. Why would you not want somebody that's going to at least, you know, make an effort? I don't know. Granted, I guess it gets back to the EU just isn't a part of Star Wars. But I get that feeling all the time, you know, from the powers that be. And yet, no one's willing to admit that. Dave Filoni did in Insider, but mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll retract that in here in another episode or two. I haven't got 135 yet, but it's definitely one of those things where, you know, it can be fun and it can be tiring, the conversations that arise over these kind of things. Every time a Comic Con or a celebration comes up and these new announcements come out, it's something I've learned with the EU. You're going to love, hate, like, and dislike every single work in and of itself at one time. You know, my favorite books, there's parts about it I hate. There's parts I don't like, but I love it still. You know, I mean, I don't think there's any one work that I love 100%, or there's not something I don't dislike or hate in it. There's got to be just at least one thing, whether it be a character that just really got under my skin. Most of the time, it's the stuff that I hate that I really like. You know, the EU books, it's the character deaths, characters that I hated to watch die, but they're my favorite books. Because that was just my favorite part of the tale. I mean, so it's one of those things like, you know, I'm sure it's going to come across like we're ranting and raving, but that's because we care. You know, I mean, there are other people out there, they don't care as much, maybe. I don't know. I'm not going to put words in their mouths. I'm just putting words in my own, as well as my foot.
Well, if we want to say talk about caring or not, I have to say that it does feel like a lot of the time, not as much with the novels, but in particular with Lucas himself, who has every right to turn around and trample over previous stuff, given his position in all of this, but in particular from sometimes the powers that be for Dark Horse. One of the things in the Dark Horse rant that got me the chance of writing it tales in sort of a roundabout sort of way about their quality control, not putting stuff out on time, all these typos and stuff that were in the issues, if you want to call them that, was the fact also that Randy Stradley came out and basically said at the time, this is around 2002, 2003, screw continuity, basically. The same kind of thing that's being said now for this series, you know, that if it comes to telling a good story versus doing something that actually fits, screw it, we just won't necessarily make it fit. With the problem being that later on, because of the general concept of the EU, it will have to be shoehorned to make it fit by someone, even if the writer's not purposely trying to do that. It seems as though sometimes those who are planning the line don't necessarily care that much about continuity, while those who actually write for it oftentimes do. I have no doubt that Brian Wood, someone as talented as he is, and the other stuff that he has written for, if he really was heavily seeped in Star Wars EU, he would care about making it all work. He just doesn't have that knowledge to be able to do it, unless he's specifically being told, no, don't you dare try to make this stuff fit together. I could see him as sort of the Jason Fry, a Dan Wallace type figure, a John Ostrander, all these different writers that we've had who care enough to try to make it all fit. Yes, they could probably get away with not making it fit, because they're just being told to go out and tell a good story. But they purposely try to make it fit because they care about the broader mythos. And I think that's a difference in the approach with Star Wars that we're starting to see, is we're seeing sort of a Star Trek-style response to Star Wars. Now, Star Trek's expanded universe is not meant to all fit together with itself or necessarily with all of the films. It's just out there to be expanded material to make money for those who want to read a little bit more, but to know, no, this doesn't all necessarily fit together. But Star Wars wasn't designed like that when the EU launched in 91. It's like we're going back to the 76 to 1990 type of mindset about continuity rather than the 1991 plus. And if you're going to say that it's not all going to have to be continuity anymore, then tell us. If this Star Wars ongoing series is going to be something that's sort of a different continuity, replacing what's come before, or is going to be separate, tell us. You know, we're willing to put up with the things that we see that we don't necessarily agree with, as Mark said. But be honest about it. Tell us. Is this going to be a new continuity? Is it all going to fit together or not? But I gotta say, all the stuff that has been building with that, whether it's the Clone Wars issues with what Lucas does versus what Dark Horse and Del Rey and them do, in the last few years, or this with this Star Wars comic series. These are the things that make me, when it comes to the timeline, turn around and say, I really don't see why I care. If they don't, why should I? I read something like The Essential Atlas, The Essential Guide to Warfare, and I say, wow, they really care. This is awesome. And I get really fired up. I couldn't tell you how many hours I have spent this summer going through and reading Star Wars stuff, taking notes, taking those notes to put them onto the Star Wars timeline goal. That sucker is going to be something like 21, 2200 pages when it's released. This summer is adding the most pages to that project that I have ever added in years. And I've been working on that thing for 15 years as of this coming October. But after 15 years of it, seeing stuff like this, every time something like this happens, yes, we get fired up, and in the end, it winds up being something we just kind of put up with. But there are times when I say, if they don't give a damn, why should I? Why am I still doing this? I could be doing so much other with my summer than doing what I'm doing. I do it for the love of it. If I care about the continuity of it, if fans out there broadly care about the continuity of it, if some of these writers care about the continuity of it, what is it that makes some of the people who make these decisions sit back and say, for the sake of the broader dollar signs, sorry, we just don't give a crap anymore? You can make money and you can be accessible without having to toss stuff or rewrite or trample over previous stuff, whether it's Path of Destruction over Jedi versus Sith or what have you. Although we did find out, at least to Lucas's credit, when George Lucas finally told Dark Horse that they were going to be working on the Clone Wars, or that they were talking about the idea of the Clone Wars. Apparently, Dark Horse had been pushing and pushing and pushing, we'd like to write Clone Wars stuff after Attack of the Clones. We want to write Clone Wars stuff. We want to write Clone Wars stuff. And Lucasfilm at first said, no. No, you can't. Because that's going to be Lucas's playground in one form or another. Whether it's in the future or just stuff that's mentioned in the films, that's Lucas's playground. But they pushed and they pushed and they pushed, and they finally got Lucasfilm to say yes. And now it's coming back to bite him in the butt while the cartoon series is running roughshod over previous stuff, and it's going to become a nightmare to try to put it together. And I just don't get it. I'm sorry. There's a the fan in me says, why should I care anymore? And hopefully this comic series is going to come out, be so good, and have some way to somehow piece it together, even if it means them saying, well, you know those old newspaper strips? I guess they're gone now. That somehow they'll try to make it work. But it seems like without dedicated people saying they're going to try to make it work, with them flat out saying we're going to make sure this doesn't have these tie-ins to previous stuff, I don't get it. I don't get why I should give a crap.
Well, you know, and that's what a lot of people say. Well, if you don't like it, show them. Don't give them your money. And it's like, oh, so I punish myself. I don't get to read any of the Star Wars because the one little thing is bothering me. No, no, I'm not going to punish myself. I've watched a lot of people take that route. And it's just like, so we lose another fan. That doesn't seem like a winning strategy. I mean, granted, the corporate side doesn't care because they're aiming things at new fans every day to replace those old that they don't care about. But imagine how much bigger fandom would be if we stopped just not caring about fans leaving because they're getting irate with the direction and the choices of these weird marketing decisions. And we actually thought about making things work. I mean, I just one of those things that just boggles my mind. I was reading on, I think it was Rocco Depot, about Crucible, and they were talking about how it was a great entry point. And I was just like, really? It threw me off so bad when I read it. I'm like, how is this a good entry point? And I think about this ongoing series, and I'm not. I think the reason why I'm not excited, aside from the continuity issue potentials, is I really don't care about Luke and them at that point anymore. If I did, I'd watch the film again. Oh, wait, I can do that whenever I want. I'm more concerned with the Crucible era. And that gets back to, I just don't see how you could say that end is not, I don't know. In this case, I guess I'm saying, yeah, it is a little harder to access. I would think that would be a harder to access book than, say, this Star Wars series that's coming out. I mean, that one kind of, I guess now I'm playing devil's advocate, because for me, it's like, you know, grab the book and read it, and whether you're curious, go back and get the other books. But I don't know. I've spent so long on it, I guess maybe that's just that I'm too close to it, and I just can't see how daunting it is. I mean, I can turn and I can look over here on my left and see this gigantic bookshelf, and now that I know I've read it all, it's not so overwhelming. But when I first started, it's like, oh my gosh, how am I ever going to read these books? And this 2012 is the year I fell behind. I'm still like four or five books behind at this point. And I'm like, you know, I kind of feel a little overwhelmed. But I don't know. It's not so much that I'm not going to read the book. I don't understand that mindset.
Well, you also have the idea of, well, you know, the whole reason why we're doing this Star Wars series is to give us the film characters in that accessible mode. You know, I ran through some of the stuff that doesn't seem like it makes sense with that mindset of the stuff being canceled now. But what happened the last times that they went through the process of putting together a new series designed only around what people would be seeing on television or in films? What happened with the film characters in those particular series that were focused on them? Well, Rebellion fell apart. Rebellion is gone. The Clone Wars cartoon series, aside from the Sith Hunters and this Darth Maul series that is sort of a separate type of thing because it's focusing more on Maul than it is on the characters from the Clone Wars cartoon series beyond Maul and Opress, you got to kind of sit back and say, you know what? I remember them saying they were going to have this constant ongoing series of the Clone Wars, and it died. Oh, we're going to have this ongoing series of Clone Wars digests. Pretty much dead at this
Secret
point.
Secret Missions
of
was doing
Hunters.
Good. That one was doing good, and they canceled it, too.
But that was a book series, though. From a comic series standpoint, it seems like when they have tried doing this, it hasn't worked of late. I don't know. I think...
The Dave Filoni article, they quoted... Filoni was quoted talking about how Lucas reads the comics and uses those Clone Wars digests as these are the comics he reads. Like, yeah, the one that got canceled for lack of people reading?
Maybe I'm wrong. I do not see this new Star Wars ongoing series being successful beyond the first couple of story arcs. Because people are going to pick it up because, hey, this is new, and there's all this controversy about it. Ooh, new Star Wars, new Star Wars, new Star Wars.
The first thing that jumped out to me when they first had mentioned it was the whole ongoing series, and I was like, this is facepalm worthy. Didn't we just step away from ongoing series? Didn't we stop KOTOR at 50 and throw the brakes on and jump to an arc style there for a little bit?
Well, yeah, because when they see numbers beyond about 6 or 7 or 8 or something like that, well, it's just too hard to follow them that
way.
So
it's no longer accessible. They're just so focused on that word right now.
And yet, we're going to have a series that doesn't even have a subtitle to it, just simply Star Wars, and make it an ongoing series. Now, does that mean 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for different story arcs in it? Of course, you can't put the story arc title on the cover because then it's no longer just a regular Star Wars ongoing series. Or are you looking at the issue of we're going to have this ongoing series, try to grab people at the very beginning and just let the numbers grow? Because again, they don't. What are they doing? Have they lost their minds?
They did this. Dark Horse did this already. The series that became Republic was that way. What is it? Prelude to Rebellions. It was Star Wars. We call it Prelude to a Rebellion now because we had no other way to realize what was going on. Then we had all the Quinlan Vos series was in there. They were all like number 31, 28, 26 through 75. I mean, I remember tracking that series down because that I got into the comics again. And that series, I think, was already into the Clone Wars at that point. And I had to go back and hunt them down. I remember, I think it was like Star Crashers or something like that was a hard one to find. And there was the Davarian episodes, those two shots. I think they were like 40 and 41. But they've already done this. And did not they say that that was just not a winning strategy? I can't understand why they go circles. And yet, at the same time, I should feel justified that they're proving my theory correct.
Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Does it matter if you try something different in between all those times of doing the same thing over and over again? Does that make it any less insane to repeat the pattern? That's a question that I want to leave the audience with thinking about here. And yes, it does seem like we are ragging on this quite a bit because we don't see how this could possibly work. I've been wrong before on ideas that I didn't think could possibly work. But, I don't know, at this point, it seems as though Star Wars, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe this is just my impression. It feels to me like Star Wars EU is imploding.
No, that is not just you. I feel that way, and I've seen other people that have felt this way. There's people that I've talked to on Skype that won't publicly say it, but they're feeling the same way. I mean, you know, I think about Spider-Man. I just watched The Amazing Spider-Man. I really liked it. I like the Spider-Man story, the Ultimate Spider-Man. I just followed that character's death, and I love that story so much. It doesn't matter how it's different. I think about Battlestar Galactica, how that was re-envisioned, and I really enjoyed that series. And I think, you know, the Clone Saga in Spider-Man, Nathan, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, you've read the Ultimate version of that. Was it similar to what it was in the Marvel line?
No, the Ultimate Spider-Man route was very different. A multi-armed Spidey, a scarred Spidey, a female Spider-Man clone. There is something to be said for taking something and rebooting it into something fresh. Ultimate Marvel did it. Battlestar Galactica did it. You see this happen all the time. We see franchises being rebooted all over the place. But Star Wars is when they say it's all meant to fit, you need to out and out say when something is a reboot or meant not to fit. That's what's freaking people out. If this new series is meant not to fit, then fine, make it a separate continuity. Great, we'll read it, we'll check it out. Heck, I'm a proponent of the idea, let's take the Clone Wars cartoon series and remove it from continuity, or the previous stuff, remove it, and consider them two separate continuities too. But when you tell us it's all meant to fit, and that's the whole concept behind the idea of their publishing line, they need to tell us when it's not meant to. Otherwise, you're going to get reactions like this when you tell us that you're telling your writers, ignore what came before.
Or take a gamble. You have a whole N class of canon, Infinities. I mean, I really enjoyed the original trilogy Infinities that came out when we got to Empire Strikes Back and Luke dies. I was just like, oh, whoa, where are we going with this? And yet that was it. We had that little run, and that whole era, that whole concept has been shelved and bookmarked. And it's just like, why not dust it out? You know, give that a whirl run. You want some accessibility to fans? Here you go. Let's do Star Wars set in an Ultimate Universe, and we're going to roll with it. And we're going to do this whole new series that's going to come out. It's all set in the George Lucas Signature Series, or whatever you want to call this thing. And boom, here we go. Don't worry about any continuity issues, because this is in a different universe. It's only meant to fit with the films and with the cartoons show that's out right now. Or just the films, or whatever you want to do, but I don't know. I think, you know, as much as I've always hated it and not wanted it, I think it's time. I think it's time to start exploring and letting these continuity issues exist on their own, but as separate universes, well, not worrying about ramming them back together and shoehorning and making it fit.
Well, let me throw a question at you then. A lot of people felt like the Bantam era of Star Wars novels was getting kind of stale and somewhat repetitive. Super weapon of the week. And eventually, the license jumped from Bantam to Del Rey. When it comes to Star Wars comics, everything since the launch of the official EU, the official continuity in 91, has been Dark Horse Comics. They are constantly getting their license renewed over and over again to continue going with Star Wars comics. Is it possibly time for us to see Dark Horse finally give up the license and have Lucasfilm say, you know what, you're done, and take this license and give it to someone else? If you can't be profitable enough with what you're producing and you have to go and change things up so drastically again, maybe if you're not profitable enough, there needs to be a business decision on Lucasfilm's end to say, all right, we're going to go with somebody else. Top Cow, IDW, Marvel, DC, somebody that's not you. Is it possibly time to see the license for Star Wars comics finally make the leap to another company after, what has it been, 21 years now?
I think so. That's tough to say. I mean, I don't know. Star Wars seems to, for me, is what put Dark Horse on the map. I mean, for me, the big three are always going to be Marvel, DC, and Dark Horse. But if Dark Horse doesn't put out Star Wars anymore, who's Dark Horse? I mean... And don't get me wrong, I like Dark Horse because it's based here in Oregon. I'm like, ooh, you know, I don't know. I don't think I can fathom a world where Star Wars comics aren't Dark Horse anymore. I don't know. That's not to say that Marvel couldn't do a good job or DC or any of the other companies out there. I mean, the Transformer comics, I believe those are IWN or IDW.
IDW,
or yeah. And those, from what I've seen, they're pretty cool and pretty fun. I don't know how their continuity lasts, but it's just one of those things. I'm not that versed. I guess I'm not versed enough to really answer. I don't know. I think that the fan in me wants to keep it in Dark Horse's court. But at the same time, you know, we like this episode, we mentioned some of the things that Randy Stradley has said. And you have to wonder, what is going on? Are they out of their frippin' minds?
When this license was taken up, wasn't the deal to produce comics that would be part of a continuity that is broader and connects beyond just the comic line itself, that will be profitable from a business standpoint for Lucasfilm and Dark Horse? If that was the proposition, if it wasn't just, here's the license, if it was predicated on the idea of an interconnected continuity, is the fact that they seem to be saying, we just can't do it anymore, without just ignoring at least some of the stuff that came before, or going to some far-flung era because we don't know how to fit that mission statement anymore. If that's the case, I don't see how it could not need to jump. The RPG has jumped. The card games have jumped. The action figures have jumped. The novels have jumped. The companies producing Star Wars cartoons have jumped. The comics haven't. Not since 91.
I don't know.
It's time.
Maybe it really is.
The more I think about it, the more I look at the business decisions that they're making here, that may be good business decisions, but make no flipping continuity sense from the standpoint of where their series were going. I don't know. How is this not a confidence breaker? We're building up these stories, building up these stories. We are promoting Knight Errant, and we're promoting Invasion. We're promoting this and this and this and this. And now they're saying, you know what? Screw all those. We got to do something completely different. Now for something completely different. How does that not cause Lucasfilm to sit up and take notice and say, what are you doing with our property?
Well, I think you nailed it right there with confidence breaker. You know, I haven't been confident in the endings of the stories since the New Jedi Order. New Jedi Order, it's my favorite series, don't get me wrong. But once we got to the trilogy, Force Heretic, the trilogy to me kind of broke up the series. I mean, from that point on, I'm just kind of like, eh. I remember a couple good scenes and stuff, but the rest of the series, the beginning part of the series, the middle part of the series, loved it. And I just remember getting kind of lost a lot, going, what's going on? Aren't they kind of wrapping stuff up? Wait, I thought the Vong were, like, really hard to kill. Wait, they're killing them really easy all of a sudden. This doesn't make sense. It's one of those things where I have to think that the confidence being shaken, maybe it is time to jump. But speaking of jump, we better get jumping. Remember, you can find our show at www.starwarsreport.com, as well as on our Facebook page, iTunes, Zune, and airing on Middle Earth Network Radio. If you liked our show, be sure to drop us a review on iTunes or the Zune Marketplace. Or just fire us off an email. You can email us at beyondthefilms@starwarsfanworks.com. And be sure to interact with us on Facebook and Twitter at @SWBeyondFilm.
So, once again, this has been Nathan B. Butler,
Mark Herleman, and Whistler.
Thanks for listening, and may the Force be with you.
And don't quote us the odds.